Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this special Mother's Day edition of the String of Destiny podcast. This is your faithful assistant, Trick Sconyers, and it's going to be a cool episode. I'm going to have a couple of people talking about their mothers and how their mothers shaped their lives, and some people about how their mother shaped them as mothers. And then hopefully we'll end with my lovely mother, Miss Linda Ross. So she'll be a cool episode. And as always, please go to String of Destiny Podcast, Spotify, Google, and catch up on all of the episodes that you might have missed. There's the catalog of every single String of Destiny episode from the first one until now. So check out that. And then follow us on String of Destiny Podcast on Instagram. But let's just get into it, man. So sit back, relax, like we always do, and enjoy this special Mother's Day edition of the String of Destiny Podcast. Hey, everybody, you're listening to the String of Destiny Podcast. This is Trick Sconyers. All right, and we are back. Joining me, first off the bat, is my best friend, my cousin best friend. I don't know what she is, but she'll tell you what she is. Mrs. Harris, please introduce yourself.
So, my name is Avery Harris. I'm actually everything. I'm like cousin, best friend, therapist.
We don't have all day. We don't have all day.
Yes, we do.
Let's get to it. Listen, where are you calling me from right now?
So, I live in Hillsboro, Kansas. Just to give an idea, we are like 2 hours from Kansas City and an hour from Wichita. They're my kind of known names in the state of Kansas that people know about. Mm-hmm. And an hour and a half from Topeka, which is the capital.
Okay. So, what is your mother's name? And tell me a little bit about your mother.
So, my mother's name is Allison Jackson. Her maiden name is Allison Adams. Then she got married, so she's Allison Jackson. Mm-hmm. I am the fourth oldest out of 9 kids. She had six girls and 3 boys. So I had the privilege of growing up with a big family, immediate family, but I have a big family too. But just a house of it was a lot of us in the house. And so my mom, she's just awesome. Awesome. She taught us a lot. She taught us a lot. And mm-hmm. I think that helped us, that curved us into who we are today. A lot of people thought, you know, growing up, because she had a lot of girls, that we would all have kids at such a young age, uh-huh. which wasn't true at all. All of us had our kids at the age of 18 or older.
Okay.
So that stigma definitely, she broke that real quick, because it was 6 girls that she was raising, and she was a strong, independent, amazing woman, man. Just to see.
She had to be pretty gangster to raise 9 of y'all children. Good grief.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she ain't played the radio. She did not play the radio. I remember one time, I caught myself catching an attitude with her at church. She made me walk home. She did not play. Like, you didn't disrespect her and thought that you was going to get away with it. She made me walk home. And so quickly, I knew right then that, you know, I need to know how to get my crap together if I want to ride in her car. So she'll let you know. You ain't going to be riding about in my car.
Absolutely.
I think you're going to have an attitude with me.
That's right.
So she made sure she did what she had to do. I mean, raising 9 kids, you have to make sure that you let everybody know who's in charge. And she definitely let us know who'd be in charge, because she would get us straight real quick. but she also taught us that, you know, that we shouldn't make excuses. So she never made the excuse. And with all nine of her kids, she never made an excuse. And she did what she had to do. I mean, for birthdays, we celebrated birthdays, Christmas, and all that stuff. She never made an excuse. And I'm quite sure she probably had some hard times, but we didn't see them hard times.
Right.
Because she made sure she did what she had to do.
Now, do you have any kids of your own?
I have three. I have a senior. Such a bittersweet moment this year for me. His name is Jamari. He's 18. I have my daughter. She's my only girl. I'm Shia's, and she's 15. She's a ninth grader. And I have DeMarcus, who has just turned 14 last month, and he's an eighth grader. So this year is a lot for me, I can honestly say. Mm-hmm. Such a bittersweet, but enjoying every moment I can get with my kids because they are slowly growing up.
Yeah, you're going to be an empty nester in a minute.
I know. Don't talk about it. But yes, at the age of 42, when I turn 42, and I'm just 21.
Oh, my God.
In my head, I'm 21.
Oh, my God.
No. But in the next 4 years, my kids will all be grown off in college. Mm-hmm. So in the next 4 to 5 years, DeMarcus graduates. He'll be a ninth grader next year, well, this year, August. And so in 4 years, he'll be gone. I'll be 42, and I'll be dropping him off to college.
Right. So now, you don't have quite as many children as your mother, but can you see some similarities in your, I guess, parenting style that you saw your mom and now you?
Oh, yes. You know, what's funny is my mom used to say sins, and I find myself saying it to my kids. And so I often turn around and laugh at myself when I do say some of the stuff that she say. My kids tell me all the time that I remind them of my mom. Mm-hmm. Well, they call her boo-boo. So that's their boo-boo. Mm-hmm. And they will say, oh, you are just like her. You are identical of her. So, yeah, I do. Especially when it comes to teaching life lessons. We Allison taught us a lot how to survive in the world, and you know, and just life lessons. And so I passed that on to my kids because she was very upfront. And, you know, like life ain't gonna be peaches and cream, but you don't have to stay in a hard place. You can, you know, find something positive in that and come out of whatever situation you're in. Mm-hmm. And so I teach my kids the same thing. I don't want them to grow, especially my 18-year-old who's going off to college, that, you know, when I drop you off to college and we close them doors behind you, that's your time that you're going to have to grow up and be a man.
Right.
You know, start transitioning yourself into a young man, to a man. And so don't think life is just going to be all peaches and cream. It may be times that it will be really hard, but you don't have to stay in that hard place. You know, you can find some positive or a look forward to whatever your goal is and strive from there. Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah.
So now if
I'm also tough on them, too, sometimes.
I was just going to ask, if I was to ask them, like, what your parenting style is, what do you think that they would say?
Okay, so it depends on who you ask. If you ask Shia, she would say that my boys are mama boys. And that Jamari is I spoil him the most out of all of my kids. but I am, if you ask all of them, I'm more the easygoing parent. So they will say I'm the yes parent. So if they want something, they always come to me if they want to do something because I, 9 out of 10, I will give in.
Do you think that it, like, now I know your kids and all of them are in like extracurriculars. Now, is that hard juggling? Like every one of your kids has like an activity to do. Is it hard like trying to juggle that schedule?
Now it is because all of them have kind of got into the age where they are doing. So 2 high schoolers and a middle schooler, and my 2 high schoolers, sometimes the events fall on the same day. Or Shia and DeMarcus, because she played JV softball, and DeMarcus is in middle school, and both of them hosted on Thursdays, that it is kind of hard. And they be, and in Kansas, everything is an hour away. You always travel an hour away to go to any event mm-hmm. that you're having. So, last couple of Thursdays ago, we had to go to Salina, which was an hour away, and go all the way to another town, Remington, which was an hour and a half away, just to see, so we could see both of them play. See Jamarcus do throwing in track and Shia do her softball.
Right.
So, yes, it does get hard. Last week, Thursday, me and Eric kind of had to conquer and divide. So Eric went over to Shia and I went to Jamarcus. So that way, both of us, somebody can be there supporting them in the events. Not so much of Jamari because he's more on varsity. And varsity usually have like a set day that they play on. Like for football, he was always on Friday and nothing else happened on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found ourselves more juggling with Shia and Jamarcus more than Jamari.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. So now, of
but
course,
it is a lot. It's a lot.
I can imagine it is. I can imagine. So now it is Mother's Day. You know, happy Mother's Day, Avery. And what would you like to say to all the mothers out there? You know, holding it down with their kids and with their family in general.
For one, just happy Mother's Day. And if y'all like anything like me, I don't really want a Mother's Day gift. I just want my kids and their dad to get out the house. Just to be honest, I just want a day to myself. That's it. That's all I want for Mother's Day. But, you know, to all the mothers, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, life, these times of the year, I mean, just in general, times are starting to get hard. But mm-hmm. as mom, we tend to, you know, get even stronger when we face hard times. So just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you got this.
Very good. Avery Harris, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You should say the number one.
Avery Harris, the number one. Jesus Christ. Bye, Avery.
No, you should say the number one Avery Harris. There's nobody like her. That's what you should say.
Well, that is absolutely true. There is no one like Avery Harris. All right, everybody, we back. That was Avery Harris, my cousin, talking about her mother, Allison. But now my next guest is a very dear friend of mine, my brother from another, Mr. David Rodriguez. Dave, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a privilege and an honor.
Oh, man, the honor is mine. You know that. So, Dave, this is the Mother's Day edition of the podcast, and I knew your beautiful mother. Why don't you introduce us to your mom? Tell me her name and where you guys from.
Well, my mom's name is Aurelis Medina, born and raised in the San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
We were basically there till 1992, and then circumstances in life decided us for us to move to Orlando, Florida, and then we've been here ever since.
You got any siblings?
I got an older brother. His name's Ruben.
Mm-hmm. Now, how was your mom as a mother? How was she? You guys grew up.
She, you know, I hate to use that old cliche, but you know, she was a kind of a single mother for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There was a parental father figure in the picture. We had a stepfather, but mm-hmm. that was a very strange relationship that they had. But yeah, it was basically just her, and right. She did it. She you know, she was a warrior.
Yes, she was, man. You know, funny story. I remember me and you went out one night. And, you know, we got a little tipsy as boys would normally do. And I had to sneak you back into the house so your mom wouldn't know we was out partying. But, yeah, she was a great lady, man.
That also happened with my grandmother.
That did happen. Yes. Yes, it did.
We're not going to talk about that night.
No, <it's not. laughs> But have you noticed any anything that you picked up from your mom that you use raising your two kids?
Yes. Being a listener and being able to, you know, not to act first when something wrong happens, or make sure that there's communication, but then there's also understanding. Because, you know, one thing is that you and I can talk and we can communicate, but if there's no comprehension, then there's no understanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I basically tried with, you know, from what my mom passed to me, she passed down to me, is to be as understanding as I can and as, you know, loving and all that stuff. But basically to talk things over.
Right.
You know, we have to talk.
Yes.
There has to be an open highway of communication between you and your children. If you don't have that, then it's basically about trust.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For them being able to trust you, and that's one thing that my mom instilled in me.
Well, that's good, man. Well, listen, from here to heaven, happy Mother's Day, Mama. I miss you. I miss you very much.
Yeah, it's I miss her a lot. It's the one person that I wish that was here.
Absolutely.
You know, all the time.
David Rodriguez, I appreciate you taking the time, brother.
And I thank you for having me on your podcast, man. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. We'll talk soon.
And a happy Mother's Day to your mom, too.
Absolutely.
Much love for her, too.
I'll pass it on, I promise. Yeah, that was my brother, David Rodriguez, the Puerto Rican sensation. You know, just to follow up on that story that he didn't want me to tell you, I'll tell you now that he's off the phone. He got me accosted by the police one time. He was, you know, drinking, and I was like the designated driver, and I tried to drive him home, and the police stopped us, and we had to do a field sobriety test and whole nine yards. And yeah, man, the police was about to stretch me. I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous, and this was, oh man, late 90s. But anyway. Yeah, that was my brother. And the through line that everybody has so far on the podcast is that their mothers were an integral part in their lives, you know, growing up. And, you know, I'm the same way. My mother raised three boys by herself, me being the oldest, and my brother David and my baby brother Justin. And she made miracles, man. She made ends meet. And a lot of times we didn't even know how she did it, but she did. And you know, I'm here as a living example of her sacrifice and her love and just, you know, her, you know, determination to keep her family and her family unit intact. So, you know, I love her for that. Like I said, later on, you know, when she musters up the courage to get in front of the microphone, I'll let you guys meet her. Cause she's a wonderful lady. But we're going to keep rolling on with, you know, people's admiration for their mothers and what they've done for them. So let's get back into it. Sit tight. Strange of Destiny will be right back. Okay, I appreciate y'all tuning in to the String of Destiny podcast Mother's Day episode. And this next guest I'm going to bring on right now, he is my actual brother from my actual mother, my younger brother, David Campbell. Dave, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good as green.
I hear that. What you up to today?
Little backyard antics.
Yeah, we need some backyard antics over here, man.
Got a little bit going on with some ground beef. Me and ground beef got in a fight. Ground beef lost. Smoke is on the scene.
I hear that. I hear that. But hey, man, you know, this is the Mother's Day podcast, and you know, we share similar stories because, you know, we grew up in the same house, you know, as that lady. But what can you remember about Mama growing up?
Well, sir, that's a very, very general question. Because, well, the response is very, very broad. There's,
I mean,
lot.
You know, if you can think of a specific thing that you remember, well, let us know about that.
Well, I mean, I give you a couple aspects, just something that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speed round. When I think of the physical, when it comes to Mama, I think of invisible strength.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of the physical, the appearance, when it comes to her, I think of something of biblical proportions.
Right.
You know, hair that looks like it's steel, it's strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those aspects. When I think of, I guess, the mental, you know, how I question it now being an adult. Like, how was she able to do it? But then I don't really question because I have the answers. I was there.
Right.
I was there. I know how she did it, you know.
Did it ever amaze you that she actually, you know, pulled off, you know, raising us three boys pretty much by herself? Did it ever amaze you that she could do that?
No. No. Not at all. I mean, everything about her was on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the physical, like I say, her appearance, when it comes to her physical strength, it's still to this day, as you also bear witness, she's stronger than my greatest strength at times.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it goes on and on. Words of wisdom from her are probably considered country to the world. But country is where we from.
That's right.
And country is what we losing. So, you know, this lady is just God, G-O-D. Mm-hmm. You know, she's from that bloodline.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Do you think that, you know, you say strength or whatever, what is it that you take from her that you can pass on to your kids, or that you do pass on to your kids?
Demonstrate. Mm-hmm. It's not always by spoken word. It's more of by
action.
Consistent action.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent. Mm-hmm. Because people remember you for whatever their mind is able to remember. But that could be a real bad weakness.
Right.
But what they can't deny is what's consistent about you. They can't deny that. No matter how bad their memory is, you're going to jog it every time you remain consistent.
Right.
Yeah, a consistency.
Mm-hmm. She is that. She is consistent, like a rock. You know what I mean? That's what that's part of the thing that I take away from her, that she's always Mama. She ain't never come out of bag and be a different person. She's always who I remember her as a child, as a young adult, and then as a middle-aged man now. She's just been Mama.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So it's Mother's Day, man. Do you like, you don't want to say, you know, happy Mother's Day to all of the people listening?
Happy Mother's Day to all the people listening. all the people.
That'll work. David Campbell, man, I appreciate it, man. Love you, brother.
I love you too, hey, number one.
Hey, man, if you cooking turkey, man, save me a burger.
No, the turkeys fly south around this time because they know what it is.
Oh,
back
well.
To our barbecue every day. Neighbors asking, hey, I see you cleaning the grill. Yeah, it's a daily routine. Oh, I was saying, you throwing some chicken? It's just a daily routine.
It's just maintenance. That's all. It's just maintenance.
Daily routine.
Well, carry on, kid. I'll talk to you later.
No doubt, son. Love you.
Love you too, man. All right, y'all. That was my brother, David Campbell. Man, I love that kid. So now I have on the phone with me one of my favorite people on earth, and I can't wait for you guys to meet her. Carla, you there?
I'm here.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
You guys heard it. I'm his favorite of all time, his favorite cousin, Kesla Quarterman. Hi, everybody.
That's not a lie. She's telling the truth. First of all, Kesla, happy Mother's Day. You know, a couple of days early, but happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And now listen, I want you to tell her about your mom. Like, introduce your mom and tell us a little bit about her.
My mom's name is Sheila Marshall, also mm-hmm. Sheila Sconyer. So however you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm the oldest of five. And of course I was spoiled. How
course,
could you not?
Of course. No cap. So,
but growing up in the house with my mom, it was just me, just spoiled. My mom was very, very quiet, whether you know it or not. She's very quiet. Very OCD. Very OCD. So I got that from my mom, the OCD part. But growing up, she never bothered you. You know, it was kind of like do the right thing, and it was no pressure. But one thing about my mom, if you did have to get her wrath was she will talk you to death. Her chastisement was you're gonna get a lecture. She don't care if you were up, if you were asleep. She gonna talk you. You would rather just get a whooping.
Yeah, just whoop.
Rather than
just
sit up and hit it. I used to tell her, my mom, just whoop me, please. And she's like, no, that's what you want. That's what you want me to do. You want me to whoop you. But no, you gonna sit here and listen. And that was like worse than the whooping. Because you know, the whooping, you get that and it's over and done. But for the most part, you know, my mom was pretty cool. Every time I turned a year older, she would always ask me, what would you like to do? This time, this, you know, being a little older that I didn't let you do or you wasn't allowed to do when you were whatever age. Just say if I was turning 13, she was like, what you feel like you should be doing at 13 that I didn't let you do at 12? So she was very fair. My mom was very, very fair.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't hard. You just had to do what you had to do. But she was very fair. You could talk to her if you just wanted to hear her. You know, she's going to talk you, but for the most part, my mom was a very, very, very fair person. Very, very fair person.
Right.
And I love that about her, you know, because even though she was a mom, she always let us voice our opinion. You know, mm-hmm. she listened and we were able to voice our opinion, you know, and say how we felt, you know, because if we didn't tell her how we felt, then
she
wouldn't know.
Right.
So she gave us that, you know, to be able to voice our opinions and say how we felt. But at the end of the day, she had to make the ultimate decision. Like, okay, I heard you, but as a mom, you know, I have to make the choice of, you know, what I feel is best for you.
Right.
And keep living. You'll learn. You might not understand it now, but you will. So that's my mom in a nutshell.
How many, how are the kids broken down? How many girls, how many boys?
Including me. It's three girls and two boys.
Mm-hmm. Man.
So I'm 10 years older than my sister, my next sister, then 15 years older than the baby sister, and I'm 10 years older than my brothers.
Right.
No, wrong. I'm 7 years older than Kaylin, 15 years older than Kai, and 10 years older than Chevy and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, yeah. I'm the big sister.
You're the big sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many children do you have?
I have three. Anaya, Christopher Jr., and Chrisaya.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Shook. How's she doing?
Mm-hmm. She doing good. Oh. My noonie. That's my noon.
So what do you think, first of all, how would you say your parenting technique is? What is your parenting style?
I try to be fair. I can, mm-hmm. I'm very firm.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like as a parent, it's easy to start out firm and you can loosen up than to just start out, you know, trying to be your kid's friend, let them get in the way, and right. then trying to tighten up the rope. Then they looking at you like, huh?
Right.
You never did this before. So I feel like I'm fair, but you know, with kids, you know, when you're growing up, you never think your parents are fair. But, you know, I ask my kids, you know, from time to time, you know, I'm like, do you think I'm mean? Or do you think? And it was like, no, I'm firm. They understand that. You know, I'm very firm. I'm very fair. You know, I don't show any favoritism. At least I think I don't. Like I said, with kids, you know, they have their own feelings and their own take. But mm-hmm. overall, I feel like I'm a very fair mom and I'm very open with my kids. And, you know, but on the flip side, you have to ask them how they feel about their mom.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's me talking about me.
Husband said, what would they say your parents thought?
Right,
is?
But, you know, I feel that they know that I'm real firm. You know, I'm just firm. Like, I'm really not your friend. I'm your mom at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get that overstood.
Right.
You know, I don't want you to think that, you know, I have fun with them. But, you know, it's still boundaries. You know, it's still boundaries that you have to have with kids,
mm-hmm.
so your children, because they're not just going to be kids always, but I feel like there should always be boundaries, because you'll never be on my level.
Absolutely,
ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the fairness, do you think that's the overriding thing that you got from your mom? Like, is that the biggest thing, to be fair as a parent to your children?
Yeah, I did, you know, to be fair and to listen, because, you know, as a parent, you know, we're not always right and we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that part I did, you know, I held that dear to my heart, you know, because my mom was fair. And I believe if you're fair with your kids and, you know, kind of open with them, you know, you establish a relationship and they feel like, you know, they can talk to you or they can come to you about things. So I feel like that's a very good asset, you know, to have, you know, to be fair. Because, you know, as parents, we think because we're the parent, that's just, we're the parents, cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
What I say, go. You know, not really seeing how the child feel or what they take on it or whatever, you know, so you can clear that up. So you can let them know, okay, this is why I say what I say, or this is why I do what I do. And my mom, she also explained to us when she didn't just reprimand us when she did. She didn't have to do that a lot because we understood from the beginning mm-hmm. what it was. So, right. But, you know, she did establish that, you know, she would tell us, you know, I'm saying this because, or I did this because, you know, not just stop. And it's like, well, what happened? You know, she explained to us, this is what you don't do, or you know, or do this, or she explained to us. So I think that's why we can kind of look at things a little different and view them, because we understand, you know, you have to get understanding and things. So
right.
She made sure she was clear on when she did have to, you know, let us have it or whatever it was, that we understood.
Mm-hmm. When, that's good. When Naya was born, when your new mother, now first time mother, were you overwhelmed at all? Like when she came, like you're a brand new mother. Now I know that you still had your mother with you to kind of like help you out and show you the ropes, but did it get overwhelming at a time?
It did, because, you know, you try to do the right thing. And now it's like, I got to make a choice for this child because they have no clue.
Right.
So it's like, I have to do everything. You know, it's like, you almost have to, you literally have to think for them. So whatever choices that I make for the child, you know, that's just what, you know, that's going to be with the child, you know. So if I make a wrong decision, that's going to go along with the child, you know, mm-hmm. in the upbringing. So, you know, it was a lot like, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Or, you know, so it was like, man, I don't want to be a mama no more. I had that moment. Like, it's like, I don't want to be a mom, because it was a lot. You had to remember everything, the date of birth, when they had this, when they did this, mm-hmm. how they go. So you really had to establish a path for the kid, you know, because they don't know nothing. So you had to create that path for your child until they got to an age where now you can pass the baton to them and they can just finish on out. But it stems from you.
Right. But I'm pretty sure it got easier once, you know.
Yeah, it
Chris
did. You know, it, 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 you know, once when I had CJ and then Cassie, you know, it was like you got a grip. Now you kind of went through the little bumps, but every child is different, but you kind of had an idea of how it go, you know. But, you know, as a child get older, their personalities, you have to deal with the child differently because they each are different, you know, individuals. But just being who you are as a mother, it, you know, I kind of established, you know, okay, this is it. You know, I think I got it by the horn now, so I think I can ride this on out.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, it was overwhelming, but it did get easier. And I enjoyed it. I still enjoy being a mother. I enjoy my kids. I really do.
They're great kids, you know. One of them happens to be my goddaughter. She needs to call her goddad a little more than she do, but we can right. remedy that.
And Trig named her, y'all, and he spelled her name Ahnyah.
Mm-hmm.
That was his doing.
I did. I mean, that's a beautiful name.
It is. But just so y'all know that.
They know that I'm a man of many talents. Well, Kes, it's Mother's Day, so what would you like to pass on to all the mothers that are out there listening?
I'll say moms. I mean, this is a whole nother podcast when we talk about that, because now the parents are really, because the parents are a lot younger now. And a lot of parents, and, you know, they're trying to compete with their kids in their latter days. I don't, that's just society.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now as parents, you know, we should get back in that space where we're mothering our kids, like really nurturing them and mothering them and not trying to be their friend and trying to get them, you know, to that, you know, live through our kids. Because a lot of parents now, they're trying to live through their kids, you know, and not really being that parent that they should be, like, give, like, guidance and, you know, all that stuff. Like, we're losing, like, the morals and things like that because of society. So I feel like we should get back to our morals, you know, as being a mother to our kids and chastising and letting them know when they're wrong. And also not just wrong, even when they're doing right, but, you know, just to be that mother. So because we're losing that, and that's where all the respect is leaving, and because they don't respect their mom, their parents. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, as parents, we should get back to that, you know, in instill in our kids morals and, you know, stuff like that. And because, you know, kids still suffer with self-esteem issues because the parent is not there.
Right.
You know, they're so busy doing what they're doing. You know, the child is pretty much trying to figure it out by themselves. You know, so I feel like, you know, women, you know, I'm not going to say keep doing what you're doing, because not all are doing.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to, because I'm telling you to just keep. No. You know, those that are doing, and, you know, if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a whole, as women, I feel like we should get back in that space and nurture our kids and lead the way and guide them and instill in them morals and those kind of things that are lost. You know, that our grandmothers, when we were growing up, and our parents was teaching us, you know, you couldn't go out the door any kind of way. Your undergarment and, you know, stuff like that. We need to get that to that. You know, not that's it. Now it looks like, oh, you're just too rough on your kids, but we need that. Like my grandma and my mother told us, keep living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not understand
Shout out to you, Dale.
Yeah. You might not understand right now, but keep living and you'll see why, you know, I said what I said or I did what I did. So, you know, we can just kind of look back and, you know, for some, they probably can't look back. They're just doing what they know to do.
Right.
But, you know, just try to, you know, just instill some morals and kind of build our young ladies up. You know, let us, you know, we have to do that with ourselves first before we can pass that down to our kids. Because if we don't have it, how can we pour something into them that we're lacking?
Absolutely.
But, you know, just, you know, women, let's just tighten up. Our kids need us, you know. They looking at us.
Right.
So...
words to live by.
Yeah.
Words to live by. Kessler Quarterman, I certainly appreciate you taking your time to be on the String of Destiny podcast today. And happy Mother's Day once again. I love you for helping your boy out.
Oh, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And it can be a part two to this because I feel like
listen, we'll finish it at a later date. You can believe that. You can believe that.
All right.
Thank you, babe. You can go back to drawing blood now.
Yeah, because these people finna have my head.
Never that. All right. I'll talk to you later, baby.
Love you.
I love you too.
All righty.
All right, y'all, and we back here. Now, before I introduce us to the guest of honor, I'd like to share a little anecdotal story about my mama. I was born about twice as big as my mama. When I was born, I was about twice as big as she was. As a matter of fact, all of her sons are bigger than her. But, you know, I was a big kid growing up. You know, I can just imagine what it took to keep me in clothes and stuff like that. But I remember one time we were living close to downtown Orlando, and I mouthed back to her. I don't even know what I said, but I know it was a smart alecky thing. I mouthed back to her, and I made the mistake of turning my back to her and like trying to walk to the room. And I tell this story all the time. My mama beat me with a 10-speed bicycle. And now people be like, why is she? No, what happened is she came up behind me while I was walking away, and she got me. You know how the people do the bums when they throw them out of the bar to give them the bums rush? That's kind of what she did to me. She got me by like the back of my shirt and the hike of my britches, and threw me up against the wall at the end of the hallway that had the 10-speed bicycle on it. So I banged on the 10-speed bicycle, and I turned around, and I'm turning around thinking that I'm going to see, like, Bigfoot or the Incredible Hulk or somebody that jacked me up and threw me up against. No, it was my little mama. And from that moment on, I was like, yeah, nah. No, she don't play the radio, so I'm gonna be cool from now on in. But listen, without further ado, I would like to introduce you guys to the light of my life, my little brown mama, Linda Ross. Hey, mama.
Hey, Trigorian. I'm sitting up here laughing, listening to you talk, giving the introduction, and I'm thinking, sometimes I forget stuff.
No, don't worry. I remember. I keep you in the loop.
But I'm not as rough as he make me out to be. Yeah, I'm small and tiny and everything, and I did, you know, rule the nest with an iron fist, but I don't think I did that.
No, you did. But you were absolutely correct. You are, but you know what I mean? You, mama, honestly, you knew exactly when to use the iron fist, mm-hmm. and you knew exactly when to use the velvet glove. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about you. You was always, you know, kind of an even keel person. Me and David, you know, listen, raising three actually, mm-hmm. raising three boys as a single mother, it couldn't have been easy. But you know, I marvel at how you did it. And I was talking to David a little earlier that you were never not mama, like mm-hmm. you never was a different person. You know, uh-huh. you were always even keel all the way through.
Yeah.
I remember another time, you know, I guess we get on your nerves or whatever, and you know, you call dad, and he come over, and he, you know, because dad is over there, we straighten up. Mm-hmm. And then once he leave, we'll go back to doing, you know, what boys will want to do. But this one time, he came over, and he was like, you know, Linda, stop calling me when these boys yeah. act up. You know, take a brick and slap the crap out of them. And so something happened to you. Like, I seen your eyes where you was like, yeah, a brick. And it was like, oh, no. So ever since then, when we act up and you about to get the brick, we be like, no, mama, just call daddy. don't worry about it. Just call daddy.
I'd rather daddy to get you into that brick.
but listen, this is the Mother's Day episode of the podcast. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, a little early, but happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Now you had a very wonderful mother.
Yes, I did.
Why don't you know introduce her and just tell us like what you remember about your mom?
I really did have one of the best moms. I know a lot of people say that about their mothers and fathers and whoever, but I truly did have a great mother. She was loving, gentle, kind, meek, humble. She was all that. She loved the Lord with all her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she raised us. She had, in total, she had 8 children. Mm-hmm. I had a brother that passed when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
But she raised 7. And her and my dad, you know, my dad was a maintenance worker, as they used to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And he retired from that. And mom, she did odd jobs here and there. But she always, now she ruled the roost with an iron fist. Like Trigoria said, I was little. Yeah, she was just as little as I am. But she always meted out punishment when it needed to be. And she was kind and gentle when she needed to be also. But she didn't play. She did not play. She didn't spare no rod. She didn't spoil no child. she was a great woman. And, her grandchildren, as we got older, we started having children. And she loved the grandchildren. She used to sew outfits for the girls. Uh-huh. She used to sew outfits for the girls. But she was always loving. And everybody gravitated toward her. Especially during the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know how those holidays was.
Oh, yeah.
Grandma be in the kitchen cooking, and she'll ask you to do something. Elaine, peel those potatoes over there for me. If I didn't move fast enough.
She'll be peeling the potatoes.
She'll be peeling the potatoes.
She was that.
We miss her so much.
Bessie Campbell.
Yeah, that was a sweetheart, a gem. God got him something when he brought her back home. But, her memory lives on. We always talk about her, you know, dream about her. And just knowing that she's in a better place.
And you
could get through the day knowing that, you know, your loved ones, when they pass on, they're in a better place. But, you know, I wouldn't have been the kind of mother that I am today without having the kind of mother that I had.
Right.
So I appreciate her with all my heart. And I told her before she, you know, when she was living, I gave her flowers while she was living, you know,
absolutely.
And I really looked out for her. So I am so proud that I was able to have the kind of relationship with my mom that I did. And my boys and myself, we have wonderful relationships, all of them different, each one of them.
We
different.
All three different people, you know what I mean?
And
that's another thing, another trick to, you know how to even handedly deal with three separate personalities.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a juggling job, but
it
become easier, yeah, you know.
Some balls harder to juggle than others. I got to tell you that.
That's true.
Now, staying on that line of thinking, what do you think, or what what do you feel that you've taken from your mother that you use in your parenting skills?
Mm-hmm. Well, always listen. You got to be a good listener. Sometimes I fall short, but, you know, I try to pick up the ball and keep going, try to be understanding. She was very understanding. She was a lady of few words, but the words she used hit home. She didn't waste words. What she said, that was it. And you could take that to the bank. And she was just, you know, she was more of a listener.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really give a whole bunch of advice unless you asked for it.
Right.
And then sometimes she saw, well, maybe I need to say a little bit of mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't afraid, even with her grandkids, to dole out some kind of sage wisdom if she thought it was needed, you know what I mean? But her life was the lesson, you know what I mean? Life was the lesson that you take mm-hmm. from it. Mm-hmm. You just see how she lived her life, and you just try to emulate that.
Yeah, you know? And so many people just loved her nieces and her sisters and brothers, everybody. They were mm-hmm. so proud of her. They used to call her Pokey. Short for Pocahontas. She had such long, thick hair.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she had long, thick hair. And before she passed, she had a huge afro. A gigantic afro.
Yes, yes.
And it was so pretty. But, she, you know, everybody don't have somebody that they could be really proud to be like.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I've been told I look a lot like her.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I have like her spirit. I have a spirit of that she had. And that to me is more than words could say. I can't even express how deeply affected that make me. Mm-hmm. Knowing that the kind of person she was, and people see that same in me. And
it's true.
I just, you know, yeah, I
know you both
enough.
And I can kind of say, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I look at you and sometimes, you know, Linda goes away and I see Bessie,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful reminder of like the person she was and the things that she left in this world, you know, mainly, you know, you, Sheila, her children,
mm-hmm.
you know what I
mean? Mm-hmm.
Now you were, I guess a little older than a little over 20, like when you had me,
mm-hmm.
Was there a time that you were like, as a mother, as a new mother, mm-hmm. was there a time you were overwhelmed? Because David came pretty close. Mm-hmm. He was 2 years after
not
me.
Quite two, uh-huh.
Not quite two, but mm-hmm. but you know what I mean, we were kind of rapid fire there. So now you have two kids mm-hmm. around the same time. Uh-huh. Did that overwhelm you at all?
No, because I had a lot of help. As you mm-hmm. know, we were staying with Grandma and Granddad
mm-hmm.
when I had you and David, and it was a lot. It was a lot of hands on board. You know, Grandma, Granddad always wanted to get
Jake,
the babies
yeah.
and play with them. You know,
rest in peace, Jessica.
Yes, my daddy. And so I wasn't overwhelmed because they really helped. It was like a village, like mm-hmm, say, mm-hmm. take a village to raise a child, mm-hmm. and we were our own village, and so therefore I never was overwhelmed. I always, you know, took care of children. I started babysitting when I was around 12. I mm-hmm. think I was about 12 years old when
okay.
I really started babysitting. And then when I was in high school, we had a class where I was taken, and we went to the nursery. I remember I went to the Lutheran Church up on Bruton
uh-huh.
and did a class. And from there, and then I started working at a different nursery. So as I got older, but yeah, I've always had experience with children. So when you and David, even Justin came along, it was a piece of cake.
Right.
Yeah. It was a piece of cake.
Now we weren't a piece of cake, but raise us. Yes, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, fast forwarding, you know, all the way to 2020, the year that will ever be forgotten in my mind. Mm. But I got sick. I got really sick. I went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. It was bad. I was in the hospital for a couple of months, a few months. During that time, like, the bonds of parenthood were tested, right? So how did you navigate your way out of that dark time? Because at that point, you couldn't come to the hospital to see how it was. You know, you were getting information secondhand. Like, how did you navigate your way out of that?
I'll tell you, Tregreen, when it first happened, it was a rush. It was hustle bustle. You didn't even have time to think. But what I had to just take a deep breath and calm myself and turn it over to God.
Right, right.
That knowing that God is, everything is in control. He has everything in control. And my strong faith in him, whatever the outcome was going to be, I knew he had it in control.
Right.
So I leaned and depended on him a lot. And then family and your friends, oh my God, your friends, at first they bombarded me so much until I had to just come in the room
that
Sunday night and say, "Oh Jesus, take it. But I know where they were coming from. Oh my God, they were so upset and so scared.
Right, right.
Because when you got COVID, a lot of people were dying. You're on the respirator and people didn't like the respirator because what was being told in the news that if you go on it, you won't come back off of it.
Ugh.
And I told him, you know what? It's going to do what God provided it to do for him. He's going to come off of it. So you did. You did fine. And, you know, everybody, good. But, it was a hard, trying time. But like I said, I depended on God to carry me through. And it was stressful, even knowing that God had everything in control. It was still because I'm a mother.
Right.
And to see your child the way you were, it was a lot. It was a lot, but I knew I had to be strong.
Right, right.
And so I did what I had to do at the time that I did. And right now, you might see me walking around and I seem like sometimes you might say something and I seem like I'm nonchalant about answering it. But it I have to be like that.
Right.
I'm not trying to be careless, but I have to, you know, stay sane.
Right.
You have to find a way to make things okay.
You know,
you can't get through everything easily. So I try to make things as easy for me as I can. I try not to stress, even though I do from time to time. I'm human. So we go through these emotions, you know, but we still hold on knowing God is in control.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no secret. I've told people that I take therapy. I go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have talked to my therapist about that too. I say, you know, through it all, you know, my mom has been like my anchor, you know what I mean? Because I mean, to tell you the truth, there have been moments where I just want to flutter away. I want to fly away. I don't want to deal with, you know, all of the stuff that was coming at me. Not so much now. I've gotten a handle on it now.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it was just it was too much. But you were like a anchor that kept me down to the ground and kind of kept me grounded. Even now, because when I got out of the hospital, I had to come here and to recover whatnot and. You know, it is always the child's kind of idea to be in a position where they can help their parents when they get to a certain age. And like I told Pop when I was talking to him, you know, I had to reconcile that in myself that now I'm leaning on you guys to help me because I can't do it myself. But I'm so glad that you were there. Like, you were like my advocate when I was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You were making medical decisions for me. Yeah. I don't even know how you did that. You know, just for example, you know, it got bad and they told you that, you know, they would have to take my leg. Mm-hmm. And then you had to make the decision to say, okay, take his leg. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. I had to make that same decision my own self about the left leg. Uh-huh. And I don't know how I did that. I kind of blanked out when the man was like, yeah, your leg got to come off. And I don't know what happened, but obviously it came out. But, just, you know, the strength that you showed, you know, throughout my life. I mean, we're talking specifically about like the COVID years, mm-hmm. but like throughout my entire life, mm-hmm. like you have been that one constant thing that I can kind of look back to say, well, that thing was always there. Like my mama, the love that my mama showed to us and her kids or whatever, that was always there. Mm-hmm. I can always draw on that. I can always tap into that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If there was a moment in my life that felt like overwhelming, like the water was just getting too high above my head. Mm-hmm. I knew that you was there to kind of like push the water away. Mm-hmm. I can breathe a little bit. You know what I mean? You never took anything away from me. Like mm-hmm. you let me like go through things, but I knew that you were always there if I needed you to be there. Yep, so
that's right. I'm still like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You still here. You know what I'm saying? You're right here in the chair with me. You know what I'm saying? So
we best buds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You hear that, Avery? I wish you listened to that.
Yeah.
But, best buds. So listen, it's the Mother's Day episode. Yes. Happy Mother's Day again, Mama.
Thank you.
What would you like to say to all the mothers out there to kind of to leave them with?
Okay. First of all, Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers. And all the ladies that are not mothers, but you're in that role of being a mother, aunt, cousin, sister, whoever you might be, Happy Mother's Day to you. Being a mother is serious. God appointed us over these precious lives for us to lead them through life and show them the way that they should go. When I was growing up, I was like, I think about around 6 years old. That's when my mom got saved. And we always, you know, had prayer in the home and went to church and did whatever. But that might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I'm telling you, if it had not been for God designing us to be here, we wouldn't be here. So we got to give all thanks to our God, you know, not Buddha or rock or tree or something. No, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's where I get my strength from. And I know everybody else do too, whether they acknowledge it or not. That is where our help come from, God. And so I would like to extend, just if you can, just from time to time, just give him thanks through your day. You know, just say, thank you, Lord. And but raising children is what you make it be. It could be easy or it could be hard. It depends on how you do it. Now, if you have children that want to be unruly, those little toddlers that throwing those little tantrums, don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. You got to let the kids know who's the boss, but you also have to be loving and kind and gentle while you're doing it. So, all you new mothers out there, Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy the ride, because it is going to be, it's going to be a ride. It's going to be an exhilarating ride. It's going to be fraught with tears and angst and laughter and joy and all those adjectives, you know, that you can think of. But it is what God called us to be, mothers. So again, Happy Mother's Day to you mothers.
Oh, yeah. Yo, that was golden. That was golden. Yeah. Mama, Linda
yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. No, you know, and see, this wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad, you know.
Well, no, listen, she was terrified of getting in front of the microphone. And I was like, Mama, this ain't even live. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, we can stop and start and stop and start. But she was walking down the hall. She was like, let's don't get this over with. I was like, wow. But look, she a pro at it. Oh, no, you was a pro. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And happy Mother's Day again. I love you,
thank
Mama.
You. Love you too, Gloria.
All right. Thank you for listening to the String of Destiny podcast. Make sure you follow us on all your podcast platforms to stay current on all the news and latest episodes of the String of Destiny podcast. Follow us on Instagram at the String of Destiny podcast. We'll be right back.